Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nick Gregory, and I am founder and CEO of both the Financial Engineering Institute and Family Wealth Hub, as well as the Charitable Capital Design Center. And I'll be hosting today's teleconference, which is part of our Financial Engineering Teleconference Series. Now, we'll be taking a Reader's Digest approach over the next 30 minutes or so to a fairly exciting opportunity, meaning utilizing property and business value solutions to win more high net worth clients. So let me begin by introducing our special guest today. Carl Finkelstein is Chief Marketing Officer of Valbridge Property Advisors. Now, we'll be taking an interview approach, so let me start out by asking you, Carl, a little bit about your background and the background of Valbridge Property Advisors.
Thanks, Nick. By profession, I am a certified general real estate appraiser. Been in the business about 24 years, MAI designated, and have been a partner in my local office for 12 of those years. Valbridge Property Advisors is the largest independent valuation firm in North America. We currently have 68 local offices, about 200 MAI designated appraisers, and over 650 total staff. We started about 5 years ago with 18 local offices and have grown to the 68. How we're a little different, the local office partners actually own Valbridge. So we like to say we have national coverage, all the while maintaining local knowledge and a local presence.
Interesting. It's interesting also that you and I met at the Heckerling Institute back in January and started talking about our needs from an expert sourcing standpoint on an exclusive basis for all forms of valuation, including art, which we were just talking about a moment ago. And as we continued our conversations and then with Rick, your CEO of your firm, it evolved quite well, and we're excited about having you being part of our expert sourcing team on a national basis, exclusively for valuation of property and both real property and business valuations. Now, can you give us a little bit of a feel for, go into a little bit more detail on what the MIA designation?
MIA, it's actually MAI, and it's interesting. No, nope, that's okay. Most people in the real estate world say the same thing, but the MAI is a designation held by appraisers who are experienced in the valuation and evaluation of all types of property, whether it be commercial, industrial, residential, business valuation, and they also advise clients on real estate investment decisions. You know, in order to get the designation, it involves additional studies that are equivalent to more or less a master's in real estate. You must be able to show proficiency in areas of appraisal practice, and having a designation is kind of one of the tenets or the backbone of Valbridge. It's a must-have to have an MAI in all of our local offices.
So what other designations might your team include?
Yeah, we education is the key to what we do. We like to say we're constantly sharpening the tools in the toolbox. We have CREs, which are counselors of real estate. We also have some designations that are more pertinent to business valuation. The IBA designates Certified Business Appraiser, CBA. The ASA, American Society of Appraisers, has what they call an accredited senior appraiser. And CVA is a certified valuation analyst. And the folks that handle the business valuation for Valbridge either have all or some combination of those additional designations.
Pretty impressive. Now, what are some of the areas that Valbridge focuses on? I think we're touching on it now, but can you elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, we are. We're kind of hitting on it a little bit. You know, we as a company, we have many areas of appraisal practice that we work in. Obviously, all real estate categories, including retail, office, multifamily, industrial. We also do business valuations. We do machinery and equipment appraisal. We do special purpose. As an example of that, we've appraised 3 Mile Island up in the Northeast.
Is that
So
right?
we have. And so most of our partners, we cover just about every facet of real estate and businesses that are intertwined with the real estate.
Well, obviously, a lot of your clientele are law firms, accounting firms, wealth management firms, banks, trust companies, and so on. Can you kind of break that down a little bit relevant to estate planning and the various filings at the end of life, and how important it is for relevant to proper valuation? And then I'll
Sure.
back up a little bit and talk about estate planning today, not waiting till death occurs.
Yeah, we our specialty practice group is known as estate planning, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's also wealth protection. And within that, we kind of focus on more or less three big disciplines. You've got your Section 706 and 709 filings. You've got purchase price allocation, and you've also got fractional interest valuation that we've got specialists throughout the country that kind of work within those disciplines and how it relates to real estate and business valuations as well.
So can you elaborate a little bit more regarding those three disciplines relevant to your expertise in each?
Yeah, glad to. You know, many of our clients file 706s or 709s. A lot of times it's for estate returns, but with the exemption as high as it is, we've seen a lot more of the filings done for gift returns, generational skipping, things of that nature. You know, what we've learned when it involves real estate, you know, we need to provide an accurate appraisal and be ready to defend it in front of the IRS. You know, for the folks on the call, I don't have to say anything that's not obvious, but you certainly don't want to have to go back and pay penalties and interest because of an invalid appraisal that was done years ago. And we like to think we do a pretty good job of dealing with the IRS, have defended many appraisals over the years, and actually have a really good reputation with most of their reviewers. As far as purchase price allocation goes, that's typically seen when a client purchases a business that also includes real estate. And purchase price allocation is actually an application of goodwill accounting, where we will allocate the purchase price into the various assets and liabilities acquired from the transaction. That's significant for folks that are acquiring wealth and managing their wealth. For example, many times small business owners purchase assets that include business and its real estate. For wealth management, we're called in to perform a PPA so they can allocate the price between the real estate and the value of the business. A lot of times this will involve IRS filings. You know, guidance pertaining to PPA is contained in Financial Accounting Standards Boards. So it's a fairly regulated segment, specialty, if you will, and we do a pretty good job of it. We've got some specialists throughout the country that focus exclusively on PPA. An example would be if one of your clients purchased a manufacturing facility that included business, we would come in and allocate the business value as well as the real estates for depreciable assets and tax implications. The final kind of focus point is fractional interest valuation, which we seem to do a significant amount of this. I think as Americans and folks in general acquire wealth and as it grows, fractional interest is an integral part of how they manage it. And valuation is an interest discount on the value of real estate. It's allowable by the IRS when there's less than 100% interest in the business entity that owns the real estate. And so the discount relates to the fact that the ownership interest has a lack of control over the operation or disposition of the real estate and lack of marketability because if you've ever been in a partnership, you probably don't want to go out and buy another one due to difficulty in selling it because it's not publicly traded. You know, some examples of entities that own fractional interest are limited partnerships, limited liability partnerships, limited liability companies, tenants in common. Two big situations that where the discount generally applies are for gifting of fractional interest, and obviously upon the death of a person that owns interest in real estate. Courts kind of give us some leeway on allocating the discounts, and Valbridge actually has a proprietary database of fractional sales that we've verified over the years that stand up pretty well in court. So we feel like we do a really good job in fractional interest valuation.
Interesting. Yeah, it's huge. And when it comes to planned giving with respect to valuations, determining, like as board chairman of Give Back Nation, we're faced with what's the value of a piece of property, whether it be real estate or otherwise, or a business, when a client wishes to establish a charitable gift annuity or a pooled income fund or a charitable unit trust or a charitable lead trust, the value of proper valuation is paramount. And
the more complex the transaction, I mean, the value is crucial, and any mistakes in that value are compounded exponentially as far as going down through the transaction itself.
Well, from a discounting standpoint, the IRS was preparing to launch some new regulations there late last year. Can you elaborate a little bit on what transpired?
As far as the discounting.
Yeah,
it didn't. They backed off of that. And as recent as yesterday, I've now seen that Dodd-Frank is not going to be touched. So I think it's a moving target in D.C. for obvious reasons right now, given the current climate. But some things that have changed that the folks on the call may find interesting. You know, there's a big change to the lease accounting standards. And this is going to be a significant change for small business owners who have participated in, let's say, a sale-leaseback transaction. Guy has a business, successful, he owns his real estate, but he's reached a point in time he wants to take some chips off the table. What's typically been done in the past is a sale-leaseback, and what that has allowed the business owner to do is to basically delay capital gains and some other taxable events for the life of the lease. And it's been very advantageous for small business owners to use this transaction, this form of raising capital many times instead of going to borrow the money. They'll just do a sale lease back because it was extremely advantageous as far as capital gains, things of that nature. The lease back is, in today's world, is off balance sheet, capital gains deferred, and it's very advantageous. Beginning in January of 2018, that is all going to change. The lease back is put onto the balance sheet. Capital gain is not deferred, and there's going to be a pretty substantial increase in the run rate on P&L. So we are, and this has just come out within the past, I don't know, 12 months, I guess. So we've seen kind of an uptick in analysis and requests for evaluations on current leases that are in place and how that's going to affect value going forward. It'll be interesting to see how that affects this method of capital, raising capital for small business owners.
Yeah, significant real hit to the balance sheet or the P&L and the balance sheet. Now, what can you elaborate a little bit more on courts and discounts and particular ownership entities to be valued and what kind of value discounts that you've seen in the past relevant to different types of property?
As far as fractional interest, depending on the type of ownership entity, the percentage of ownership, the rate of return on the investment, we also take into account the amount of debt that is involved with the property, as well as cash on hand, market time and conditions is all taken into effect. Based on our experience in the market, we've seen discounts as low as 15%, and as high as 67%. The majority of transactions, at least that we've seen and are in our proprietary database, range from about 25% to 40%. In each instance, the ownership interest needs to be valued based on its own merits. The IRS requires support in the form of an appraisal for fractional interest. They are extremely diligent in reviewing the appraisals, and it is not uncommon for them to throw them out. A lot of times we've been called in as secondary appraisers to come in behind either a situation that was denied by the IRS, or we've been called in as experts for the IRS. The IRS guidelines are pretty clear. The appraisal must consist of a qualified appraisal and be completed by a qualified appraiser. And so that's where we feel, again, like I said earlier, we have a solid reputation with fractional interest and have had very good success in our dealings with the IRS.
Pretty impressive. Where are you located directly? Where you work out?
I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. And your national headquarters are in Naples?
They are. That was when we rolled when we started 5 years ago. One of our original partners was based in Naples, and Naples is a nice place to have a headquarters, I must say. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's worked well for us. But in this day and age, our accountants are based in Seattle. We have several vice presidents scattered throughout the country, and everything seems to work extremely well for us.
And so your offices, your 68 offices, and I think you've just added an office in Miami as well. So maybe you're at 69, but you're dispersed across the country pretty effectively.
We are. We feel like we cover 100% of the United States, and that includes Alaska as well. Matter of fact, one of my partners was in above the Arctic Circle last summer, appraising, doing some work for the United States Post Office. So
Is
we,
that right?
yeah, oh yeah. But we do. We've got a fairly broad footprint and manage it very well.
Yeah, I think you said from a business valuation standpoint, focusing in on that for a moment, you're in, you have professionals with proper designations in what, 10 or 15 different states?
We do.
In that arena.
You know, we do. And that is as you know, is very, very specialized. And it is there's a science to that for sure. I think somebody mentioned the other day there's software out there that can value a business, and I don't know how that's even possible.
I'm going to mention to you that, you know, for $150 you can purchase software. There are a lot of different types of so-called business valuation software out there, and I think some huge mistakes are being made relevant to in the business valuation, buy sell, stock redemption, cross purchase environments.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling to me. I mean, for example, Jerry Armalovich, who is out of our Naples office, does a large amount of business valuation. And the way Valbridge works, we'll get an assignment, and depending on availability with time or location, the business valuer expert will come in and assist. So we worked on a large port that was doing some refinancing for some bonds, and Jerry came in and did the business valuation, and we had some team members work on the port facilities, the real estate, and some of the equipment. But Nick, her report was, I don't know, 250 pages, and it is full of analysis and support and examples, and you really get a peek behind the curtain of a professional like Jerry, and really see what goes into valuing a business. And after we work together, I have tremendous respect for what she does, and for what the other folks in Valbridge that do the business valuation for us, what they do.
Well, we all know that the IRS is taking a very scrupulous look at all of this relevant to, attempting to generate discounts much more substantial than maybe they should be in all forms of property to the advantage or disadvantage of the IRS, whether it be estate or income, particularly in merger acquisition work. And to skip corners, cut corners relevant to valuation, and it come back to haunt someone 10, 15, 20 years from now, especially when someone passes away, that can really take the fun out of things.
Yeah, the financial ramifications of making a mistake today can just be insurmountable. I mean, you talk about protecting your wealth, that's a surefire way to lose it, to mess with the IRS.
Yes. Yes. Well, why don't we, if you don't mind, Carl, what if we open it up to question and answer at this point? Adam, can you unmute everyone?
All guests have been unmuted.
Yeah, what questions or thoughts might you have out there? And don't be shy. And what questions or thoughts you may have are probably being thought of by others as well. So, any comments? Carl, I have one. How often, from an ESOP standpoint, employee stock ownership plans, how often might Valbridge get involved in valuation from an ESOP standpoint?
The ones that I know about, and I am usually see most of the workflow come and go. It's ranges from maybe half a dozen to a couple dozen a year. You know, that was a, and I guess it still is. It's a great way for a business owner to again take some chips off the table, pass it on to the employees, and a lot of times there is a lot of real estate tied up in it, and so we'll come in and especially if they're doing revaluations, setting out their required contributions. So, you know, we do a fair bit, fair amount per year.
You know, ESOPs, I see, is just a well-kept secret relevant to the huge tax advantages of if done appropriately for the right reasons and dealing properly with the needs, concerns, and objectives of the owners and the employees can be very powerful. However, it's a very complex tool, and there are plenty of ways to mess that up. And obviously, the IRS has gotten a little uncomfortable with some of the valuations that have been conducted. And you know that may very well be in those cases detrimental to the employees from a valuation standpoint, and so it's so important to have an organization like yours, Valbridge, involved in making sure all this gets done properly and can be substantiated and supported in the future.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of this puzzle, Nick, is to make sure that we can back up and substantiate everything we do on a day-to-day basis. You know, in addition to our fractional interest database, we've got a national database. I think it has over 1 million records in it. And so there's rarely a situation that we find ourselves in that we don't have a good comp or don't have someone within the organization that we can reach out to for help. And so I think the chances of us erring are slim to well, I won't say none, but we feel like we do an exceptional job when it comes to you know, valuing the property on the local level, and that's really what this is all about.
Yeah, and we're so excited to have you part of our expert sourcing team on a national basis and be able to make sure things are getting done as we get directly involved with wealth management firms, law firms, and accounting firms, and banks and trusts. Interesting, the group of relationships we have on a national basis.
But yeah, that's what was attractive to us. You know, the folks you have all over the country kind of mesh well with all of our locations, and the beauty of that is, you're going to get the same quality, whether it's in Charleston, South Carolina, Naples, Florida, Houston, Texas, San Jose, California. So it's consistent, and
you've created that professional consistency that we're all in search of.
Well, we're trying. We're trying. Yeah. We're definitely. We haven't achieved perfection, but we're working on it. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's what we all have to do. Yeah, we're looking forward to you'll be participating in our 16th annual Wealth Blueprinting Symposium coming up in June 21st through the 23rd. You and Rick, excited to catch up with you then here, which will be conducted here in Tampa Bay, where our national headquarters are.
Yeah, Rick and I are looking forward to it.
Yeah. But in conclusion, for those who don't already know, my organization provides coaching, training, marketing, and case design in coordination with our open option practice engineering process and our portfolio of proprietary advanced strategy platforms. We're committed to helping advisors fortify their value proposition by fusing new services and products into their firms, creating fresh revenue and profit silos while enhancing client acquisition and retention. Similar to what we just got through covering here in taking a Reader's Digest version approach, how can you provide or bring quality valuation to the table in brand position and differentiate your organization in the eyes of that client with regards to the type of valuation that might be taking place. Now, Carl, we really appreciate your participating in our teleconference today. And to contact Carl, his email address is K Finkelstein, Finkelstein. Did I miss?
Close.
Steel. I spelled it wrong on my cover sheet here. Let me say that again. Carl Finkelstein, Finkelstein, @valbridge.com. And
that's
the website, their national website is valbridge.com. You can learn, it has a wealth of information as well as their various locations on a national basis and so on. And then Carl's direct number, if you wish to contact him, is 843-654-7500. And he spends most of his time in Charlotte, South Carolina. And although Carl does a lot of traveling as well. So again, thank you, Carl, for participating. Thank you, attendees, for sitting in today. And this call has been was recorded. So by, I would guess, next Tuesday, the recording will be online at our website, the Financial Engineering Institute. Our website address is thefeei.com. And the recording is in the, if you go across the top sidebar or top menu bar, you'll see schedule. And under schedule, you'll see teleconferences. And you can click on the recorded button right there. For more information regarding my organization, again, it's our main website is thefeei.com. And our direct line to call in is 888-884-3332. And our next call is, I believe, on June 6th. And I'm sure you'll be seeing invitations between now and then regarding our topics and our timing. Thank you very much. And again, thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye.
Bye-bye.